Well, I suppose most of you have been here every week for the last 4 or 5 weeks. 4 weeks, I guess. And we're going over these questions. First week, it was, do you have the assurance that God has forgiven you your sins through faith in Jesus Christ? And then we went to, do you believe the Bible is God's written word, uniquely inspired by the Holy Spirit? And do you accept its authority for what you must believe and how you must live? I think those two kind of go hand in hand. If you don't have faith in God, I doubt you have faith in His Bible either. But I think without faith in His Bible, some of it's really difficult to believe. Number three was, do you here resolve by God's grace to be Christ-like in heart and life, opening yourselves fully to the cleansing and empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit in the guidance of the Scriptures and nurture and fellowship of the church? That's funny. I got two lists here. Oh, yep, I do. Never mind that. That's not what we preached on, but basically we did. Five, as a follower of Jesus Christ, will you embrace the mission of the Free Methodist Church, As a follower of Jesus Christ, will you embrace the mission of the Free Methodist Church within the beyond this congregation, and will you join us in giving sacrificially your time, talents, resources, and help? That's actually what we did last week. That's why this doesn't look right. This is what we actually went by, okay? These are the questions in the right order. But because I didn't like the order, I moved them. Because I wanted to get down to today, and that is, do you hereby resolve by God's grace to be Christ-like in heart and life, opening yourself fully to the cleansing and empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Scriptures, and nurture the fellowship of the church. Now, as I read through that, I was a little like last week. This is kind of an elephant, and I'm not sure exactly what I want to try to chew off today, because that's a pretty sizable mouthful, and I'm sure that we have food cooking in the ovens at home, and we have all these places that we seem to think we need to go today. And we would probably like to get out of here somewhere around 11:30. And so if that's true, I can't cover all that and do a very good job. But I have decided to kind of come down to the idea of to be Christ-like in heart and life. And the reason I fell upon that part is I really kind of feel like the rest of it would fall in line if we actually was Christ-like in heart and mind. Because I think sometimes we're pretty good at making it look like we're Christ-like. I mean, that's kind of easy. We're human beings. We know how to change masks. We know how to deal with certain people. And I went to a business type meeting on Friday, and it was a leadership meeting, and they were trying to teach us how to kind of do that. Make sure that we knew who we was talking to and how to talk to them in such a way that we wouldn't upset them and we could get our idea across. Not necessarily just plow through them, but actually hear them and understand where they're coming from. And I think sometimes as Christians, when we're trying to meet those people out there and help them to come to know the Lord, once in a while we may need to just start a good relationship. Because if you think about it, that's where Christ started, isn't it? You know, he fed 10,000 after he had healed the sick. After he had preached to them. After he had fed them the word, he then fed them a meal. And if we really think back in the feeding of the 5,000, the only reason he was out there in the wilderness was for rest and relaxation. And all these people came and Christ went ahead and he became himself. He gave of himself sacrificially. He forgot about the fact that he was tired. He forgot about the fact that he had been overworked and his mind was spent. And he forgot about those things and he worked on the power of God to heal and preach and then feed 5,000 men. And who knows how many women and children. You know, sometimes I like to think that, you know, there was probably at least 5,000 women. Probably. At least maybe 200 or 2,500 or something like that. I mean, if you really think about it and was to add those numbers in today's thought process, and we could get that 2 children and so on and so forth, we're talking close to 12,000 people. And they ate 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So we have to remember that being Christ-like is going to take us out of our comfort zone. To be Christ-like in mind and spirit is going to make us have to do some things that we may not necessarily want to do at the time we do it. And so this morning, I chose Matthew 16, 24, and 27. And I think I'll read those. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the man of God is going to come, or the Son of God, man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." That last part kind of scares me. You know, we're not supposed to have a works-based religion. You know, it's not about what we do. It's about the grace that God allowed us salvation. It's the free gift that God gives each and every one of us. But too many times in my Bible it says, as we heard in Psalms this morning in this verse here, "what I have done." So God expects us to do more than just take a free gift and run with it and do nothing. He expects us to do Christ-like things. And so I back up to the first verse we read. And it says, "If anyone would come after me, he must, one, deny himself, two, take up his cross and follow me, and that's three things that we have to stop and think about as Christians. All those are verbs, right? Deny, take up, and follow. All those things are action words. God didn't expect us to sit in our comfy little... Okay, most of the pews aren't that comfy, I'll give you that. But we can't just sit in our pews on Sunday morning and expect God to be overly joyed with our Christian life if that's all we really do. If all we really do is come to church and sit on Sunday morning, we're not really gaining anything. And Christ's kingdom gains nothing. So we have to kind of stop and think about these three action words and how God would have put them together or how we might deal with it. You know, as growing, we're growing up, we always have heroes. And every father wants his son to think he's a hero. Now, some of us made it and some of us didn't. Some of us aren't that great of heroes. But then again, you know, there's other people out there to be heroes for you. You know, we have Superman, we have football players and baseball players and soccer players, and we have all these people that can be our heroes as we're growing up, people that we would like to be like when we get older. We really think that those are the kind of people we want to grow up to be like. And how would we ever do that? You know, I hear stories all the time about golfers that have made it big in the PGA, and if you talk to them and ask them the question, they'll always go back, well, I seen Arnie do this, or I seen Jack do this, and I wanted to be just like this guy or just like that guy, and so I worked at it and I worked at it and worked at it. They were their heroes. And the reason they got as good as they did is because they done what they thought that Jack did or that Arnie did. And we do those kind of things. You watch a little boy following his dad around the farm, and it's not too long before they both walk exactly alike. They carry their hammer just alike. You know, they really enjoy that idea of following dad around or grandpa and learning how to do these things. And pretty soon they're a lot like their parents or their grandparents, whoever they're emulating. But I find that as I look over a lifetime, too many times it's not the person that's in their life a lot. It's that person that jumps in there for a month or off and on throughout their life that they tend to emulate because they're different. Well, I don't want this old, same old thing here. I want to find something that's different. And our society is full of those type of people. And quite honestly, usually those people that come in and out of our lives quickly aren't really the people you'd want your kids to grow up to be like, is it? I can remember as a kid, there for about a month, I really wanted to be the plumber. I thought he had the greatest job in the world. You know, he had a big hammer. He had one of them fancy acetylene torch things, you know, and he had a hat that was kind of weird looking, and I really thought all that stuff was really important. And I worked with him for about a week and a half when they put the stool into our house. And I thought anybody that was willing to come and help us that way, that's a pretty nice guy. Well, I grew up and I thought this was a pretty nice guy for a long time. But you know, when I got into high school, I found out who this guy really was. He wasn't all that nice a guy. He was the last person my folks wanted me to emulate. And so I know why they tried to steer me away from him from time to time. And I'm kind of glad they did. So I think as we think about being Christ-like, we have to stop and remember, if we're going to be Christ-like, we have to learn what that means. And we have to do it. I mean, we can't just say we want to be Christ-like and walk out the door and not really think about how Christ would interact in our day, in our culture, in our school classes, in our work, in our insurance, whatever it is we do. If we don't allow Christ in there, we're never going to make it. We're never going to be Christ-like. We may be some pretty nice people with some really great ideas, but I'm not sure it's ever going to make us Christ-like. So, if we go to the idea of denying, and go to Matthew 16, verse 25, it says, "For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it." We have to be willing to give up. We have to be willing to give up the things that we may or may not, that we really want to do for someone else. We may even have to give up family and friends to really be a Christ-like. Because sometimes we have some really good friends that, quite honestly, they're not that Christ-like. And my mom, when I was growing up, made sure that I understood that I was who I ran with. And at the time, I thought she was nuts. I was smarter than Tim. I know I was. But as I look back, I'm not so sure I was. You know, Tim got me in a lot of trouble because I was more than willing to. He'd come up with an idea and I'd just help him make sure it worked. Tim was an idea man and I was all about getting it done. And so we worked out pretty good, but not really for the greatest. Romans 15:1 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Let me read that again. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." You know, there's a lot of times when we could just forget somebody's problems and go do what we'd like to do, and that's what we want to do most of the time. But is that Christ-like? I mean, if we stop and think of Christ feeding the 5,000, he'd already went out into the wilderness by himself because he was tired and he was spent and he wanted some time to rest and talk to God. And the multitudes followed him. And he helped the weak and the failing and forgot about his problem. See, sometimes I think as Christians, to really be Christ-like, we have to sacrifice our wants and wishes sometimes. We have to allow God to work through us to help those around us. And it says to take up your cross. Pick it up. What does that really mean? 1 Peter 2:21-24 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judged justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. by His wounds we have been healed. Christ died on a cross for us. And the thing about Christ dying on the cross, He not only died on the cross for us, but He did it willingly. You know, if you read the whole Passion story throughout, Christ never retaliates. He never says a cross word. He just tries to help them understand what they're really doing and who's in charge. He didn't fight with them. He didn't argue with them. He went like a sheep to slaughter. Are we willing to do that? Is that how we do business? I have trouble with that one. You know, when I buy something, I expect it to be right. And sometimes when it's not, I have trouble explaining that it's not in a very Christian way. Especially when they try to tell me that it's my fault. And one time I actually told him, I said, yeah, I bought it, right? It is my fault. But we have to learn to be Christ-like in our business dealings, how we deal with our children, how we deal with all those people that we meet, no matter where. I go to the stores. I go to Walmart especially is the one I like the best. And you'll be looking at something on the shelf and you'll go to reach for it and somebody actually pushes you to the side to get something on the other side of you. And you have to sit there and think, now what would Jesus do? You back up and allow Him to do it. Or you're going for the last checkout line that doesn't have anybody in it. And before you can get there, you're in third place. And you calmly wait because that's what Jesus would do. You strike up a conversation and enjoy the time. Try to build a relationship with that person that you know needs Christ because a Christ follower would never have treated you that way, right? We need to learn to pick up our cross. We need to learn to go to slaughter just like a lamb. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Living sacrifices. Is that how we're doing it? You know, the Bible's full, even in the Old Testament, about how we ought to treat others. How we ought to deny ourselves and help those around us. To actually be what Christ will be when He comes, if you read the Old Testament. And when we get to the New Testament, we have Christ Himself throughout the Gospels, giving of Himself sacrificially. Living for God, no matter what would happen to him. If we read Paul, Paul gets stoned just to bring forth God's scriptures to the people in Asia. We got to learn to take some bruises once in a while, I guess. We need to learn to be able to quietly allow people to maybe take advantage of us once in a while. To let them know we're different, we're peculiar, sacrificially. And then the last one's probably the one that's the hardest. Jesus tells us to follow Him, right? In John 13:15, it says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That's kind of a rough one, ain't it? You know, the disciples, they were sure that they could follow Christ in His footsteps until they found out that He was going to die on a cross. And they still ended up, most of them, all but one, being sacrificed in some way for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to stand up that way? Are we willing to allow ourselves to be belittled, beaten, our home burnt for the cause of Christ? You know, we live in a wonderful part of the world. We live in the best country in the world. That's why we have people coming up through South America and Mexico right now to get here, because we have such a great place to live. Because in other parts of the world, if you want to be a Christian, you're going to give up family. Maybe completely. They might kick you clear out of the family. You're going to give up a lot of your friends because they can't associate with you. You may have people that would burn down your house just simply because you're a Christian. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to follow Christ that way? Because if we think about it, if we follow Christ as He taught us, He took us to the cross. And He died there. That same cross we're supposed to take up. We're supposed to follow Him there and fall before Him. It's at that cross that it's going to make a difference. We have to make a difference as Christians today if we're willing to allow our lives to be Christ-like. And many times it's going to be. Are we willing to give ourselves for what we believe or for what we say we believe? But you know, it's not all that bad. You know, there's in the Bible, it tells us that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm not sure that in our estimation, through our strength, that's true. But I can guarantee you, in God's strength, and God's power, it is true. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to learn to be more Christ-like, to allow You to infill us in such a place that You give us that power and strength, that Your burden will be light, that Your yoke will be easy, that You can help us through to be the kind of people You'd have us to be. But there are things we have to do along the way. We have to learn to deny ourselves. We have to learn to take up the cross You have presented us with. And then we have to follow You. And to the cross if we have to. And so, Lord, we just ask that You anoint each one of us with Your Holy Spirit. Help us to know that You are close and that You have the ability to hold us up and carry us through. So this morning, Lord, we just ask that Your mighty hand be upon us, that Your Holy Spirit infill us, and help us to be Your people. And help us to be more like You. More Christ-like in everything we do. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.